Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, J.W. Buck. In this podcast, The Cultural Christ, we will explore the intersection between the Christian faith and cultural identity. We hold interviews with followers of Jesus to discuss the way our faith impacts our culture and how our culture impacts faith. Now for part two of this interview. That's such a cool phrase for you to bring up, that we know about the gospel and who Jesus is and his relation to humans who are made in his image, but so different. We're all so different, come from different backgrounds and settings. Is that something you latched onto quickly and easily? Or was that something that you learned in community? Was it like something you were taught, like in a sermon, and then you're like, okay, I really believe this? Or did you learn that among peers who are also trying to follow Jesus? Kind of like, how was that process for you coming to that truth?
I don't think I've ever gotten a sermon on that, actually. I was thinking about it and I was I don't think I have. Yeah, but you know, that'd be a good sermon probably to all the pastors listening. I think what it was is I think I kind of observed it through my peers. So to kind of give backstory in that, like when I went to college, I joined like an Asian American fellowship, and just seeing them, most of them were Chinese American and similar to like Filipino Americans that I knew, like they were very much just like comfortable in who they were. And I think seeing them being comfortable in how they were and following Jesus in like radical ways, it encouraged me to dig deeper as to why I struggled with feeling comfortable with who I was, or like being in a sense, again, like proud to be Filipino. And so I think in that I started to kind of like think in my head, like, oh, it's okay. Cause even before that, the church I went to when I really became a believer in Jesus, they were also kind of the same, but I think I still had that weirdness of not feeling like I fit in with them. So seeing it in another ethnic culture, like I was like, oh, it's cool to see how they're living life and faith together. And then I think over the years, there were more things like podcasts, like the Some Days Here podcast is one that I really loved because it was about being Asian and a Christian at the same time. And so I think hearing those resources, it was helpful for me even further to be like, it's kind of a weird thing, like faith and culture. Like I didn't know how it mixed together, but seeing that like I could be this, but it doesn't conflict with being Christian. I don't know how that works out, but in my head, it never did. But I think seeing others learning and living in their cultural heritage and in their ethnicity and like that still following Jesus, like that example to me was helpful. And then I think what was really helpful was going to the church I'm at currently, which is a Chinese American predominantly church. And I think seeing them in the same capacity, like really fully loving Jesus, but being able to come over and see them talk about Chinese culture or like their history in America, or like just the way that they knew their culture, but like still, or not still, but like used it in how they reached out to those around them or like loved others and were hosting people. I think that further kind of helped me in that journey. Does that make sense? Was that an answer to what you
Absolutely. No. Well, first off, any pastors listening, get your act together and talk about being fully known and fully loved. So thank you. You didn't hear that in a sermon. That's not good. but second, yeah, you're talking about community and experiencing through others what it's like to embrace your cultural heritage, talk about your cultural heritage as a Christian, being affirmed in who you are, that was a type of revelation in the college groups and the churches you're a part of, even if it wasn't a Filipino American church, that you're watching that happen. And it's so good, Margaret, to hear that perspective, because coming from a white perspective in North America, generally speaking, the vast majority of us white people don't need permission to be who we are culturally. We don't need somebody telling us you can be yourself, or the white kids in that classroom saying, I don't hang out with Asian kids, or I don't want to be your friend, or because there are others and they're othered. Then at that point, we don't have to struggle with being who we are. It dawned on me once, I was walking through a Vons in Southern California, and there's all these aisles and all the food. And then there's the aisle that's called ethnic food, right? That's the ethnic food aisle. And in my head, I'm like, wait a second. I'm Anglo-Saxon. That's an ethnic group. What? All of this is ethnic food. Everything here is ethnic food. It's just over history with immigration law in North America, ethnic became a catchphrase for non-white, different, other, even though anybody who's white comes from an ethnic group. What are we talking about? And so talking about that othering, it's important for me to hear. And I appreciate those stories because I still struggle with ethnocentrism. I still struggle with giving myself permission without first asking, how can I be like Jesus in Philippians 2 and like create that room or leave a space so that room is created because I'm gone, all these things, so that people can feel that flourishing in who they are in a way that like most white people never even have to think about, you know? And then we're traveling, but then you're still a white person in that environment, given the benefit of the doubt in so many spaces where you might end up being a minority. And so just thank you for sharing that. What have been some of the ways that Jesus has dignified your cultural identity as you are discovering who you are as a Filipino American woman in a cross-ethnic marriage with your daughter, all these beautiful things, like even on our team at PAX, which is a diverse team. When you think of Jesus specifically, how has he dignified your cultural identity?
As I think about that more, so for the Philippines, there's like many different groups, right? There's people who are pretty poor and then there's like pretty well off. And I think from hearing what my mom has shared with me, because I've never been there, I think that that economic gap is pretty like visible. And so for me, my family or my mother's family, like they were more in the impoverished areas. And so I think sometimes there's, I'm not sure how to word this, that like there's this thought that like Filipinos are less than because they were poorer, yeah. You know, and I think that's like a concept in America because the economic status is such a big thing here. When I think about Jesus and I realize that like, you know, he as a person, like he was not wealthy. He wasn't this like rich white man that is portrayed sometimes in America, yeah. And like depicted. He wasn't that. Like he actually like lived based on like the givings of people around him. Like he, you know, wandered through towns and spoke and was taken care of by those around him. All the things. But I think like seeing that those things didn't matter to him, like the fact that like people, where you were economically or even like, yeah, their sins or like any of those things, like he still met with them. He still loved them. He still knew them. Like I think of the woman at the well, she was completely like rejected and all these things. Like I think in that sense, when I think of Jesus, I am so grateful because even in that, like not to say that my culture is just poor Filipinos, like it's not that, it's so much more. But when I consider that in specific, I'm like, again, like the fact that God, Jesus, you know, he like knew all of that and still loved me, I think that gives me dignity in itself because it's like, who am I to say that a God who created me, he sees me as being worthy of love, worthy of Jesus, like, then why do I not find myself worthy? So like, I don't know if that makes sense, but that gave it dignity because I don't think I gave it dignity at some points in my life. And I've belittled the fact that I was Filipino. Like I didn't dignify the fact that I was Filipino, and seeing that like Jesus would have or does, like it just that in itself, that's such a like broad answer, but I think that has been like for me, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. You mentioned a depiction of a white Jesus. Just curious, growing up in the settings that you were in, how did you imagine Jesus like in the flesh? Did you see white pictures of Jesus? Was it Filipino Jesus? What was it when you thought of God and Jesus coming into Christianity? Who was he?
It's definitely a white man with like light brown hair and like, I don't even know the eyes, but they were definitely not dark brown eyes. I definitely think that was what I saw in like pictures or like Filipinos culturally. I think a lot of them are Catholic and like even on like those Catholic candles, I would see like that. I didn't really grow up in a Catholic space, but when I would see them around, because also growing up in like a Mexican area, right? Like a lot of Mexican tradition or culture is Catholic. I think, unfortunately, that has been what was colonized and made is like a white looking Jesus. And so I think that's kind of what I thought about. That is mainly it until I realized that like he was brown. Like, duh, it makes sense that he was not exactly that. But yeah, that was kind of the picture I saw.
What was that transition like for you? Was that something that somebody shared with you? Was it kind of like reading the Bible and realizing, oh, this is like an ancient Jewish text. This isn't like Jesus coming out of Sweden, eating potatoes and, you know, like what's happening?
I don't remember exactly. I just remember hearing it from someone and they just said the comment like, yeah, like Jesus wasn't white. And then in my head, I was like, wow, I knew that, but I never connected that with the fact that like when I've seen images, I've always seen him as being white. And it was like he did not look white. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. The Bible doesn't even say he was like super handsome or like anything like that, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, that's true. Why is it that we always picture him as, or like depict him as like this, but it didn't dawn on me until someone pointed it out.
Yeah. And so much danger in the world embracing a white Jesus. One, because it's historically, theologically, biblically wrong to say that. But then all of a sudden, you know, when we make Jesus into our own image, which all cultures tend to do that in the artwork we create, is we know ourselves and our culture and our skin and our people. And so we make God into our image. But then there's a lot of blind spots that come with that. And I do think that's such a big goal that the church should have in the 21st century, is trying to overcome this white colonial warrior Jesus that isn't found in the text. So yeah, thanks for sharing about that. Transitioning to the last set of questions, church and community, I'd love to hear, with where you are right now, what does it look like for you to be kind of fully you in a faith community, in a church?
I think I'm really grateful, again, because I'm in a Chinese American space, and like, even though it's predominantly Chinese American, we don't like overtly say that we are. It's just that's what happened. And we do have like other Asian, but different ethnicities within the Asian race, I guess, and like other people too. But in that, I think I've really embraced or have been thankful for the fact that like when I come in, I feel like I can be, I don't know, seen, like when I introduce Filipino things or like dishes or like things that I've thought about, like I'm not looked at weird. Like, what is this? Or like, maybe like, yeah, because some Filipino food, it has a strong smell, like some other Asian foods too. But, you know, it's not greeted with complete like disgust or like, you know, I feel like I'm equal. If that makes sense, like just feeling equal, not less than or not more than, I guess, but just being seen for what it is and who it is. And I think I appreciate like the curiosity that I'm met with too, like, oh, like, what is that? Like, I'm just curious, you know, but it's not given with judgment. I think those things allow me to be myself and to like share things and be excited to share things that are Filipino, or like a mixed Filipino white thing that like, oh yeah, it's different from what you get at a Filipino restaurant, because my mom and my dad like would put in their things into the recipes that I have. Like, it's different. But I think being able to feel like safe in the sense that I'm not going to be like looked weird at, or like, most likely, I mean, I can't speak for every single person, but like, but to know that I won't be met with so much judgment, I guess, in those spaces for the cultural things that I do bring to the table or the stories that I have, is, I really appreciate that. And it encourages me to be more open or honest and transparent with how I am.
Beautiful. And I love the theme of feeling safe in that space and not feeling judged when you do open up about who you are culturally. And I think that's a really important lesson, you as a Filipina going to a predominantly Chinese American church. And so you are technically one of the minorities that are there, but whatever's going on at that church, it's the table practices of Jesus. It's the opening of cultural hospitality to let you in and be yourself. And that's a lesson for all American churches, that we struggle with a very colonial mentality, which is, you're other, you're different. So maybe go start a different church or start a different ministry, but integration is incredibly challenging versus assimilating and just telling people, well, be like us or don't be here anymore, as opposed to trying to honor, like Galatians 2, honoring the cultural values of people as they come into faith spaces. That's not easy. So it's encouraging to hear that that's taking place at your church, because that is a very rare thing to take place. I do want to ask about parenting, kind of, what are your hopes for your daughter? What are your hopes for her as she comes up in a multi-ethnic home in a amazing country, but also a very colonial, horrible country. It's like we're very much this dichotomy in the States. As a faith leader in her life, what are your hopes?
I still think about that a lot, again, because John and I still struggle to think about our own culture in terms of like, what things can we pass on? But both of us really just hope, at the end of the day, we hope that she sees herself as, again, like I've mentioned a couple times, just being fully seen and fully known and being fully loved by Jesus. And then in that being seen that, like, I'm half Filipino and half Chinese, and so things are going to be messy. Like, I don't really know what's Filipino and what's Chinese. Like, that's hard for us to parcel out, because, you know, there's some overlap in that. And so I just want her to feel comfortable with who she is, like to be able to know that, like, the different aspects that are biblical, right? Like, there is some, of course, not so great things in either culture that we've both like come and seen, but for her to be able to be proud of those things that are maybe not written in the Bible, but it's just part of her culture, like to be proud to be that, or to be able to live in it and not question or wonder or feel like me, like shame for looking away or being away or like liking certain things. Like, I want her to feel confident in that. I really pray almost every day that she will have good community that like loves Jesus, that like also, I don't know, accepts her for who she is too. Those are our like hopes. And in parenting, like, we really just want to learn how to just encourage her to explore the things she wants to explore through the lens of Christ, and to not be hard on other people either that might still be figuring things out or who are different than her too. I just don't want her to have to go through like what I went through, which I think is most parents, what they hope for. But yeah, I just want to build her up in being able to know who she is as a fully mixed person with very different backgrounds, and just, I don't know, just be able to be herself. It's vague still. She's only 1.5, so I have some time to kind of figure that out. But I hope it's slow.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, well, I'm excited that she'll be the future of these conversations when we're super old. She'll be carrying the torch of faith forward, which is amazing, and leading in these spaces in the churches. So, Margaret, thanks so much for being on and for sharing your perspectives.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you want more content, you can go to jwbuck.org or follow me on Instagram, handles jwbuck. If you have any questions about culture, cultural identity, or faith, feel free to send me a message. Hope you'll join us next week.